sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Our starting line on the sunny side of sports is African athletics. Top long-distance runners from Kenya and Ethiopia are expected to challenge for both the men's and women's titles in Sunday's BMW Berlin Marathon in Germany. The course, which starts and finishes near Berlin's Brandenburg Gate, is rated one of the fastest in international marathoning. 10 world records have been set during the 44-year history of the race. Defending men's champion Kenenisa Bekele of Ethiopia will race again on Sunday in Berlin. Last year, Kenenisa clocked 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 3 seconds, only 6 seconds off the world record set by Kenya's Dennis Kimeto during the 2014 BMW Berlin Marathon. Meanwhile, another Kenyan, reigning Olympic marathon champion, Eliud Kipchoge, is also in the men's field in Berlin. The 32-year-old Kipchoge won the Berlin title in 2015. And yet another top Kenyan, 35-year-old Wilson Kipsang, will also test his speed on the Berlin course. And Kipsang knows the course well. He set a then-world record of 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 23 seconds in winning the 2013 Berlin title. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Wilson Kipsang ahead of the race. Here's Andy.
I'm at the BMW Berlin Marathon. We're all excited, especially about the men's race. And with me is someone who's been very important in the history of the Berlin Marathon, and that's Wilson Kipsang. Wilson, great race last year. Just beaten by Kenenisa Bekele. And of course, this is the course where you broke the world record in such spectacular style. How are you feeling for this year?
For sure, I want to really say that this year I'm feeling good. And I've really prepared myself very well. And I really think I have the potential to really beat the record again.
Do you think back to the race, in particular that duel in the latter stages with Kenenisa last year, or have you put that out of your mind?
I think of last year is gone, and this year I'm really trying to really run in a different way and try to make sure that towards the end I'm really in a safe distance.
When you say run in a different way, can you give us any suggestion what that might be, or if you, what you've done in training and differently?
I think my training has been going on very well, and this time I really prepared myself very well. And with a strong competition this year, I think we are really going to approach it in a different way compared to last year. Yeah.
Of course, in the field is the Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge. So it's we've got three very strong men, and who knows, somebody may come along and surprise one of the three of you. Have you tended to think about your own training rather than think about how you counter Kenenisa or Eliud or anybody else?
Yeah, I think these guys are very strong, and I'm also, even for them, they also know that I'm also one of the strongest, and have the potential to really beat them. So it's all about trusting my training, that I really prepared myself very well, and looking forward to have a very fast run. Yeah.
Berlin has been so important, I think, in your career. Does it feel especially important for you? I know you've won an Olympic bronze medal, and but you've broken the world record here and you've been so successful. Is it an important race?
Yeah, I think Berlin is one of the most important races I've ever ran, because having broken the world record here, this also gives me memories, fresh memories of 2013. And now that I've still have the potential to really go for the record again.
Wilson, I think everybody who loves running is looking forward to the race on Sunday, the BMW Berlin Marathon. Wilson Kitsang, all the best for the race. Thank you, Wilson.
Okay, thank you, thank you.
The energetic Andy Edwards also had a pre-race chat with the 2015 Berlin women's champion from Kenya. Once again, here's Andy.
2 years ago in the BMW Berlin Marathon, Gladys Chirona ran 2 hours, 19 minutes, 25, one of the fastest ever women's times, really superb, 13 seconds outside the course record. Now, Gladys had a bad year in 2016, but she's back in Berlin and she's looking in good shape. How are you feeling, Gladys? Because it must have been hard to be injured for so long last year.
Yeah, I'm feeling good now. I'm ready to run on Sunday to improve my personal best, to run good time.
What were the problems that took you out of competition for so much of 2016?
Yeah, I had a stress fracture. That's what it made me out of competition for the whole year. Until this year, when I ran Boston Marathon, and when my body was not in a good form. But now I'm okay.
Did you ever doubt that you could come back to top level? Did you think, well, that's my running career over?
Yes, I know that when everything, my training was good and everything was well, and I know that my shape will be back again.
Do you feel confident now? Because you've come through a difficult time. You ran so well to win the Berlin title 2 years ago. And, of course, it's always a strong field in Berlin. You've got to be in top shape. So how do you rate your chances?
Yeah, I know this time my colleagues are also in good form, but I'm not running with anybody. I'm going to run my own race to make sure that I run my best time.
Do you look back and think 2 years ago, well, you went so close to the course record, 13 seconds outside the course record. Would that be a target for you as well?
Maybe if everything goes well, maybe they will run a course there. We will improve that time.
Well, Gladys, you're looking happy. Certainly must be great at whatever level of runner to be running again. Wish you all the best.
Yeah.
BMW Berlin Marathon on Sunday. Thank you, Gladys Chirona.
Okay, thank you much.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Battle of the Sexes, a new film dramatizing the 1973 tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs, will be served up to American audiences on Friday. On September 20th, 1973, at the Houston Astrodome in Texas, King defeated Riggs in straight sets 6-4, 6-3, and 6-3. The nationally televised match was broadcast on prime time on ABC here in the USA and was viewed by an estimated 90 million people. Billie Jean King was 29 years old at the time, and Bobby Riggs, who died in 1995 at the age of 77, was 55 years old during the Battle of the Sexes. Billie Jean King's victory is viewed as a milestone in the public's acceptance of women's tennis. Bobby Riggs had been taunting all women's players, and after initially declining his challenge, Billie Jean King said game on after Riggs beat former Australian star Margaret Court 6-2 and 6-1 in Battle of the Sexes 1, held about 4 months earlier in 1973. In the new movie, American actors Emma Stone and Steve Carell portray Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. The 28-year-old Stone talks about her preparation for the role.
I took a lot of tennis lessons. I met Billie Jean at the beginning, and she started with, you know, asking me questions. She's such an incredible coach, so she really keyed in on what I had in common with the understanding of an athlete, you know, that footwork was going to be important, and I had danced, so footwork was good, or that I had been on stage before, and that when she went out onto the tennis court, it felt like her stage. So she really keyed in on that and made me feel so comfortable instantly.
Emma Stone says she also tried to become more comfortable with mannerisms and small actions by top players on the court.
A lot of details, like the way the balls bounce, the simple things. So we went to the U.S. Open, and I was sitting next to Billie Jean, and Sloane Stephens, who won, was, you know, catching balls and tucking them in her skirt and bouncing them with the racket. And I was like, okay, Billie Jean, you see that? It looks so simple. It's just little in-between stuff. That took me months and months to learn the little stuff of bouncing the ball and grab, you know, all of that was wild. How difficult it is, but it was really an amazing challenge.
That's American actress Emma Stone, who portrays tennis great Billie Jean King in the new movie Battle of the Sexes. Now let's go to Prague in the Czech Republic. That's where a new event on the tennis calendar, the Laver Cup, will be played this weekend. The indoor hardcourt tournament honors Australian tennis legend Rod Laver, widely considered one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. The competition features Team Europe against Team World. The captain of Team Europe is former Swedish star Bjorn Borg.
Well, so far so good. And I hope we're going to be the winner on Sunday too. But when they asked me to be the captain for Team Europe, it was an honor, and I was very happy to be part of Laver Cup. And, you know, to be a captain and to be with these guys here next to me, it's an honor. I've been watching these guys for years. I believe it's going to be a great weekend with a lot of good tennis, two great teams. And in the future, I think this is going to progress and be a really huge event in the future.
Bjorn Borg captains a Team Europe squad that has Rafael Nadal of Spain, Alexander Zverev of Germany, Marin Cilic of Croatia, Dominic Thiem of Austria, Tomas Berdych of the Czech Republic, Fernando Verdasco of Spain, and last, but certainly not least, Roger Federer of Switzerland.
Well, I always had the feeling it would be great to honor the past, you know, because I feel like we struggle to have a decent platform for the legends of the game, because either you're a coach or you're a commentator, and there's no in-between, really. That was my initial thought, is that maybe we could have a celebration of tennis on the weekend.
This celebration of tennis on the weekend in Prague also features a Team World with the following players: Denis Shapovalov of Canada, Australians Tanasi Kokkinakis and Nick Kyrgios, and four Americans, Francis Tiafoe, Jack Sock, Sam Querrey, and John Isner.
Pretty certain that we're all going to be fired up and wanting to win. We're not going to treat it like a exhibition match or anything like that. This is real life tennis, and there's a lot on the line. So it's also the first time that this event has happened. So all of us have a great honor to go out there and put on a good show.
American tennis player John Isner ready to put on a good show at the inaugural Laver Cup in Prague, the Czech Republic. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
Come back, baby, come back. Come back, baby, come back.
The National Basketball Association champion Golden State Warriors open their preseason training camp next week, along with the league's 29 other teams. The Warriors will be bidding for their third NBA title in the past four seasons. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, let's listen in again to how they won their most recent championship, and we begin with the most valuable player of the 2017 NBA Finals.
They call us a super team, but been a lot of super teams that hasn't worked, and we came together and we continue to just believe in each other, and we sacrificed, and we champs now.
That's Kevin Durant of the National Basketball Association champion Golden State Warriors. Durant won his first NBA title and the Warriors their second in 3 years after beating the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers 129-120 to win the 2017 NBA Finals 4-1. Kevin Durant scored 39 points in Game 5 and was a unanimous choice as the most valuable player of the NBA Finals. Kevin says lifting the trophy, though, was a true team effort.
We did it together, man, without the whole team, man. You gotta, man, what about Patrick McCaw tonight? What about Zaza Pachulia to start the game? He was amazing. What about Stephen Curry after not having a great game in Game 4, came out tonight and played like a big dog. 15 free throws, 10 assists, 34 points. You know what I'm saying? I don't say what you want about him, but he played like a big dog all series. And so to do that as a group.
Now let's hear from the big dog, Stephen Curry.
It was unbelievable. The energy in the building from the time we stepped foot on the floor was on 12 out of 10. It was just ridiculous. And obviously there are ups and downs and runs during the game, but you always could feel like we were so close to just breaking it open. And that last 3 minutes was a blur just of pure emotion and energy, and you could feel it. So for us to be able to do it in front of our home crowd, something I'll remember for a very long time, and for the whole Bay Area that supported us, you know, since I've been here my rookie year, man. The depths of the NBA to hear us, you know, world champs again, crazy. Enjoy every minute of it.
Another man who took part in the celebrations was Golden State's head coach, Steve Kerr.
Incredible basketball, incredible high-level basketball out there. And so congrats to them on a great season. Obviously, we were heartbroken last year, and but this year was our turn. And we're obviously quite happy, if you couldn't tell by my wet hair.
For our VOA basketball fans keeping score, Steve Kerr has now won 7 NBA titles, 5 as a player and 2 as a coach. Kerr talks about being heartbroken last year when the Warriors lost to the Cavaliers in the NBA Finals. Well, you might say Coach Kerr was heartbroken through much of this year's NBA playoffs. That's because Kerr wasn't able to coach the Warriors because of chronic back problems. After a 6-week absence, the 51-year-old Kerr returned for Game 2 of the NBA Finals, and he's now celebrating another championship. Cleveland superstar LeBron James averaged a triple-double during the NBA Finals, 33.6 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists over 5 games. But it wasn't enough for LeBron to win his 4th NBA title. LeBron was asked if he and the Cavaliers felt overmatched by the Warriors.
No, I don't think I've ever, not one time that I felt like we were overmatched until probably like, I looked up there, it was like a minute 20. And we were down 13, I believe, right, something at that point. And I was like, okay. We left everything on the floor and it still wasn't enough. You know, they assembled a great team. You know, we was able to get them last year, and they went out and got, you know, one of the best players that this league has ever seen. You know, so, you know, they did a good job of a great job. You know, their front office and their players by doing that recruiting, the things that they did in the summertime, and obviously it paid dividends.
That's LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers speaking after losing the 2017 NBA Finals to the Golden State Warriors. And LeBron was speaking in Oakland, California. A few fun facts now about Kevin Durant, who, as I mentioned earlier, won his first NBA title and was named the most valuable player of the 2017 NBA Finals. The 28-year-old Durant was born here in Washington, D.C. He played one season of college basketball for the University of Texas, and in the 2007 NBA draft was the second overall pick by the Seattle Supersonics. After Kevin Durant's rookie NBA season, the team relocated to Oklahoma City and became the Thunder. Kevin Durant played 9 seasons for the Thunder organization before signing with the Golden State Warriors as a free agent in July of 2016. Kevin Durant has also won 2 Olympic gold medals for the USA in men's basketball at the 2012 Games in London and the 2016 Games in Rio de Janeiro.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Finally, in pro boxing, undefeated world light heavyweight champion Andre Ward of the United States announced his retirement on Thursday. The 33-year-old Ward won 32 consecutive fights without a loss, including 16 knockouts. In a statement at his website, Ward writes, "I want to be clear. I'm leaving because my body can no longer put up with the rigors of the sport. And therefore, my desire to fight is no longer there." And that wraps up the September 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Ethiopia's eastern lowlands bordering Somalia are suffering through a severe drought.
The rainy season was late and not enough, causing devastating losses among local livestock herds. Coming on the heels of two previous dry years in Ethiopia, the drought of 2017 compounded an already serious humanitarian situation in the country. As a result, numerous households in the country's Somali region are experiencing chronic food insecurity and concerning rates of malnutrition. The United States, Ethiopia's largest donor of emergency and development aid, continues to deliver a large-scale humanitarian response. In late August, USAID Administrator Mark Green announced that in order to help alleviate the dire humanitarian situation, the United States will deliver $91 million in additional humanitarian assistance for those Ethiopians who are even now struggling with severe food insecurity and malnutrition. This funding will provide additional emergency food assistance and vital medical care, he said. A day earlier, Mr. Green announced that Ethiopia had been chosen as one of a dozen countries that will participate in the second phase of the Feed the Future initiative. This seven-year-old program aims to reduce global hunger, poverty, and undernutrition by focusing on smallholder farmers, increasing investments in agriculture, and supporting country-owned plans for improving food security and nutrition while generating opportunities for economic growth and trade. In this way, the United States hopes to help strengthen Ethiopia's resilience to climactic shocks. I don't view development in humanitarian assistance as a gift or a handout. I view it as a hand up, said USAID Administrator Green. I believe passionately in the dignity of each and every human being. I believe that every human being wants to build a brighter future for him or herself and children, and that every country wants to lead itself into a brighter future. We want to help people stand on their own two feet and build their own futures, and that's what I hope our assistance can play a useful role in, he said. USAID is committed to helping Ethiopia leverage its human and economic capital and to harness the power of Ethiopian farms and entrepreneurs to create a more economically prosperous and food-secure Ethiopia.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.